right back with Ali C.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Wow, we're talking about what not just the president, but perhaps the vice president knew, and when they knew it, especially Dick Cheney, you know, we think of him as being the Darth Vader of the vice presidency. Whatever your political persuasion, don't attack me. That's what some people think. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. All right, Grant Cameron, the question is asked on this radio show. Dick Cheney is there. You get on first. Like to know how to do that. You get on first. Explain the question before we go into the answer. Maybe more details about how you posed this question.
Okay, my idea was that I really don't care what Mr. Cheney thinks about UFOs. I really don't care if he's seen a UFO. All I want to know is, was he told the truth? And the truth to me, whether you're a general, a vice president, president, whatever, is somebody walks in your office and gives you the briefing, the real truth, all the intelligence. They gather all the intelligence together, and they walk in and they brief you. They give you the truth, not the disinformation, not all the crap. They give you the real truth. So that was the question. And the rumor was that he had been read in. And because he was chief of staff under the Ford administration, he was secretary of defense under the Bush senior administration, and now he's the vice president. So he's had a number of high-ranking jobs. So the question I asked, and I said, Mr. Cheney, it's been rumored that you've been read into the UFO program. My question for you is, have you ever been, in all your jobs in government, have you ever been briefed on the subject of UFOs? If so, when was it? And what were you told? They cut me off. I didn't hear it until the audio. It's April 11th, 2001. I heard went to the archives and listened to the audio. And the answer he gave is, if I had been briefed on that subject, it would probably be classified and I wouldn't be talking about it. And then Diana Reen steps in and she's, I guess, taken aback, and she says, well, Mr. Vice President, have you had any meetings on UFOs since you got into the White House? And by then he sort of caught his footing, because he didn't expect the question, I'm pretty sure. He caught his footing and he said, no, I've had no UFO meetings since I got into the White House. So that was the whole thing. And it was used effectively later on when we came across the 2004 campaign. I'd asked a question. And so when the 2004 campaign was on, Wesley Clark was campaigning. He was on the top of the Democratic ticket at one time. He was leading.
He
was in New Hampshire, and he starts talking about the fact that he believes we can go past the speed of light. He's a four-star general. So David Rudiak finally asked him the question. Nobody would ask the question. Mutual UFO people, state directors, nobody would ask the question. They said, well, we don't want to embarrass him. I said, well, if we don't want to embarrass the guy, I mean, why are we going to expect somebody else to ask him the question? We've got to ask him the question. David Rudiak asked him, and said, Mr. General, have you ever been briefed on the subject of UFOs? And he said, oh, I know some. In fact, I'm going to Roswell tomorrow. This is right at the end of the campaign. And he said, so you were briefed. And he said, we've got problems with the mathematics. And so this is the type of thing that I say that people should use.
We've got problems with the mathematics?
We've got problems with the mathematics. That's what he said.
Sounds like he was trying to cover up the question and divert your attention.
Well, it wasn't me. It was David Rudiak that was asking the questions.
Sure, but I realize that, but I'm saying he was trying to kind of divert the attention. Let me ask you a question which occurs to me, because we don't know much about Grant Cameron. So I'm going to ask you the obvious question here. You're looking into possible disinformation. And I've asked this of other people, one of whom cut me off his mailing list after he got this question and will not answer my email. And by the way, that's James Carrion, the former head of Mutual UFO Network. Okay, so here's the question. Are you a disinformation agent about UFOs? Well, there we go. That's it, folks.
I'm a Canadian. Who would tell me anything? I'm a Canadian. I mean, I don't have any insight. That's what I said about John Alexander. I mean, I was able to get to Cheney. He's saying, well, you know, these people, he couldn't get any answers from anybody. Everybody denied it. And I said, I mean, come on, I'm a Canadian. I have no security clearances. I have no access. I was denied access to the United States at one point. I mean,
I was
going to
ask you about that. It would be great if you could give us a blow-by-blow on that one, too, but continue.
Yeah, so I'm able to get this kind of stuff. I'm actually disappointed at some points, because everybody gets these documents, and I've only been leaked one document, and that was the document with the John Alexander's group. I'm kind of disappointed that nobody ever leaks me anything. It's sort of like if you're significant, if you've done something like Moore brings out the Roswell thing, everybody approaches you with documents and stuff. And I always figured, well, maybe I'm not getting anywhere because nobody's come to try to give me information. I've never been sort of approached and said, you know, I've got these secret documents.
They don't like you.
Well, yeah, or that I'm not doing anything significant. Nobody really cares what I say. But if you're Linda Howe and you get this sort of thing about cattle mutilations that suddenly goes viral back in the 80s on TV, and suddenly they come to her and say, oh, you're working on this HBO documentary. Let us help you. We're going to give you some footage from a landing at Holloman Air Force Base and absolutely shaft her around until she loses the documentary. I mean, I've never had this sort of indirect contact by intelligence people offering to tell me stuff. I never had that experience.
All right, you're Canadian. What is your background? Do you have a day job?
I'm retired now. I just play stock market. I was a facility manager at the University of Manitoba. Really nothing that had any connection to UFOs. Basically, I attended university and the UFO sighting started in 75. I got involved, basically quit university and figured this is what I got to do, and spent years out in this field doing the sighting stuff, writing the manuscript, and went from there. And just my jobs, and now it's all I do is UFOs. I go to most of the conferences now, and I've got enough money that I can sort of play the game for real, because that's what I think it takes. It takes a lot of time, and it takes some serious effort trying to get to the bottom of the thing. And so I've tried to make enough money, and I managed to make some money, and now I can play the game full time.
Okay, so you play the stock market, and you're lucky.
Lucky, yeah, I guess you can call it that.
Let's hear about your, you know, misadventure at one point there a number of years ago when you were trying to get into the United States. I believe you were going to present at a conference, and you ran into some problems with what we now refer to as the TSA, or the Transportation Safety Administration. Why don't you talk about that?
Homeland Security. I'm actually got it hanging up on my wall here. I got my denial hanging up on my wall. What had happened was I was giving a lecture, the 64 reasons why the government is not going to tell you what's going on, and I was going to give it in Los Angeles, and I took the flight that went through Vancouver, Canada, and then it would link there down to Los Angeles. And I people make more of it than what it is. I think it was just a guy having a bad day. But I was in Vancouver, and Vancouver is where the Air India jet left that was blown up by the Sikh extremists. They lost like 400 people or whatever. So it's a very high secure airport. And I went through there, and basically, I'm very honest, I told U.S. immigration official exactly what's going on. I'm lecturing here. Here's the pamphlet. This is my honorarium, $150. And she said, okay, fine, you know, and whatever, and gives me a piece of paper and go to this room. And then the guy said, well, you can't lecture in the States. You don't have a green card. And I said, well, I mean, I've been doing it for years. I mean, it's like a $150 honorarium. I said, professors go down and lecture in the United States all the time. And he said, you're not a professor. Don't even go there. And I said, well, but I've never had trouble going across to lecture. And he said, well, we'll make sure that doesn't happen again. And then he asked all the questions, whatever, and then he disappeared for a couple of minutes, and he came back, and he gave me the sheet, Homeland Security, has been refused entry to the United States, you're lecturing at an event where they're collecting money, you're receiving money in exchange for this, you don't have a work permit, and you refused entry to the United States. So he handed this paper over, and I said, and he started talking to some guy, he's laughing, he's talking to some guy, and I waited for him, and I said, well, what do I do now? And he said, I don't care what you do. Go back where you came from. And I went, holy cow. So I just sort of wandered out of this room in the middle of this Vancouver, a huge airport. I had no idea even where I was in the airport. And I went out, and some guy sitting at a desk, and I said, well, I've been refused entry to the United States. I got to get back to back onto an Air Canada flight to get home. And I said, well, how do I get back? And he said, I don't know. I guess you get on the elevator. And he opened the elevator for me, and I went down and emptied out into this huge airport, and that was it. And then what had happened, it was really kind of an odd thing. I was going through security trying to get on the Air Canada plane, and suddenly I get pulled for a second time, and the guy says, Mr. Cameron, your computer has come up positive for explosives. And
I want to get into more of this. Okay, let's leave this explosive comment where it is until we get to the next segment. Wow. Grant Cameron joining us I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with a WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at cha-chingwisdom.com. That's C-H-A-C-H-I-N-G-Wisdom.com. Cha-chingwisdom.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We return. Grant Cameron is our guest. He's telling us of his encounter in Vancouver, at the airport about being on some kind of watch list, possibly because of potential explosives. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. We continue with the Paracast. Grant, please explain.
Well, and again, this is where I think it came down to this Air India thing. They do a lot of tests for explosives, and what they'd done is that my computer, they had pulled my computer and they'd done a test with a little swab or whatever, and it came up positive for explosives. So then it went to the same thing, and then I got 15 minutes to make the flight, and they start going through the questions, and there's people all gathered around me, all these agents and whoever they were, and the question, this one was last year, six explosives, and I was like, I'm going, this is unbelievable. This is like, I was just like, the conspiracy thing in my head was going. Then what occurred to me, what happened, I had a Dell computer, and I had the hard drive replaced about 4 days before, and I had shipped it off to Dell to have the hard drive replaced, and I think what they had done is they cleaned the thing with solvents or whatever, and when I mentioned that, then they just sort of said, okay, you can go, and they gave me my computer, and off I went, and I was given a sort of an indirect message from somebody, I can't remember who it was, that I would be on a watch list for 2 years, which is exactly what happened. For 2 years, every time I went into the United States, I was pulled, and the guy would say, you know, have you ever been to U.S. immigration? Yeah. Well, that's good. You'll know where to park. And it was like every time. And I would get pulled door number one, door number two. The car would be going through. And it went on for 2 years, exactly what the guy said. And after 2 years, it stopped. So now I lecture quite a bit in the States. I go to the States, but I don't accept any honorariums. I just go on my own dime. And,
well, you know what they could do is right after the event, you get back home, and then they send you the check.
Well, but that's evading the point. I mean, that's why I would say, people say, well, just say you're going on vacation. But I say, you know, if I'm going to play the game and be dishonest at the border, why should you believe anything I tell you when I come to lecture? It has to be truthful. I have got enough money. I don't need money to lecture. So I just, that's the way I work it. And I can feel confident at the border because I go across the border quite a bit. I live right at the border. The incidents that happened when I had the sightings are right at the border. We have the Minuteman missile, three missile silos. That's where all the sightings took place. So we go back and forth across the border all the time. And it's always very unnerving when you're going to the border. They always treat you like you're like a criminal and, you know, you don't want to give anything away. So I just play the truth. I play the game. I don't want to have to worry about getting caught at anything. So I basically tell the truth. And it saves like $150 honorarium. Who cares? If I can get across the border and not accept any money from anybody, I come across. And so far, it has not, you know, worked against me.
Well, I'd like to sum up a little bit your thinking. You know, you have kind of suggested, I think, to our listeners that we're seeing a gradual incremental disclosure that's wrapped around, in some cases, even absurdities, other cases, more believable disinformation. What do you think the end game is here? Do you think that there's some sort of involvement by the military-industrial complex or the private sector, let's say, and perhaps a lot of these secrets that Stephen Bassett and Alfred Weber and others want disclosed are actually in the hands of the private sector? Do you have any sort of inkling where the separation between government and the private sector lies?
Okay, that's a big question. I think the private sector is involved. John Alexander's Special Access, this group that they had, this top secret group, one of the items that they were discussing was this Bobby Ray Inman giant engineering program headed up by Bobby Ray Inman. So they were looking into that rumor. I don't know where they got, because I just got the notes, just had to add it on the agenda. So I think the military-industrial complex is involved. The back engineering is going on. And I bring up some of the examples in the John Alexander article where there is actually technology sort of being developed by people. I'm trying to think here. If you take a look at what Pandolfi says, in 1996 he started talking about the fact that there's 200 people who have been given the briefing on the core story. And the core story is basically the, you know, there are aliens here, the government knows a little bit, we're working on it, we've got a crash saucer. Basic core story. He says 200. He said all flag officers in the Navy intelligence. And that's one of the things I think is it's the Navy that's running the show. The Navy is the key element. It's got nothing to do with the Air Force. Wilbur Smith, who ran the Canadian government UFO program in the early days when I was around his people, I was asking them, because he had the top secret memo, was getting this material from the United States, flying saucers exist, all this different material he was getting, and he put in this top secret memo that he gave to the Canadian government. I was asking his people, well, who is he in contact with, his things? Who are his things? And everybody told me the same thing. We're not actually sure, but we're pretty sure it was Navy people. So he talked about the Navy being involved. Gandolfi talks about the Navy. Bob Lazar, that whole story, suddenly he brings up the Navy. If you take a look at this UFO cover-up live from Washington, D.C., this 1988 thing, which involves the Falcon, which is an interesting story. The story there is that the Navy is running the show, and one of the stories that sort of backed up the fact that the Avery was more, or the stuff that Bill Moore was getting was more than disinformation, is that the Falcon, we always claimed the Falcon was this DIA guy. And I know at one time Hal Puthoff was getting material from me because he was trying to track this DIA connection with Bob Wood. They were trying to get this thing. And during this UFO cover-up live thing where they had the Condor and the Falcon backlighted and they were talking about the strawberry ice cream and the aliens and all this kind of weird stuff, this was supposed to have been a big disclosure thing. And I know Billy Cox was very close with Billy Cox then, and Billy Cox was watching it. And he talked to Bill Coleman. Bill Coleman had said, because he was on the set when this thing was shot in Washington, and Bill Coleman said he met the Falcon, and the Falcon was in the audience, and he was shocked. He could not believe that this guy was involved in the UFO phenomenon. So I said to Billy Cox, I said, well, get Coleman to tell you who it is. Coleman would never say who it was. But right from the word go, we knew it wasn't Richard Doty. We knew that there was a high-level official that had impressed Coleman, that Coleman was amazed that this guy was involved in the UFO phenomenon. So this stuff was coming from Washington. It wasn't coming from Doty. He wouldn't have had time, and he wasn't that smart a guy. I dealt with him at one point. He wasn't that smart a guy to put all this material that was coming out in the 90s. So there was this sort of background that there were these people. If you look deep enough, there was people in the background who seemed to be running the show and putting this material out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just it's a hall of mirrors with a quicksand floor, and there as soon as you think you've opened up a can of worms and maybe have some nice fat night crawlers in it, you get thrown a loop.
Let me give you another example of a document that gets in this document thing. That there's no legitimate documents, but there are documents that do tell you stuff. Your listeners may not be familiar, but this is a documentary that I see is a key story. One of the key stories in ufology is the Bob Emmenegger story with the documentary where he's called in by the military and talks to all the Blue Book officials and puts all this material out. And he is given a document in his book. He writes the book, UFOs, Past, Present, Future. There is a document that refers to this 1959 psychic incident with Francis Swan. Francis Swan was the last of the sort of big contactees in the 1950s. She was being watched by the Canadian government, was investigating her. Navy intelligence was investigating her. FBI has documents on her. CIA is involved with her, and there is a file at Secret Service on her.
Okay, anyway, let's get into the story in a moment here. We have Grant Cameron. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Thank you. GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
We're back with Grant Cameron on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. We've only got two segments left. And now you're talking about this contactee. As you say, okay, Perhaps the last big contactee of the 1950s. What happened?
Okay. So Bob has this, puts this, what's called a memorandum for the record in his book. He leaves all the names out of it. And basically it's the story of the fact that the Navy intelligence gets interested in this woman in 1954. They go to her. She teaches them how to do this channeling. The one Navy intelligence officer goes racing back to the CIA, to the National Photographic Interpretation Center, where they analyze all the spy photographs and stuff like that. Art Lundahl runs the building. He's interested in UFOs. He said, okay, sit down, go into the trance. They go into the trance. They're talking to this alien by the name of Alpha. And Art Lundahl says, okay, we want you to prove yourself. Alpha says, how? Show yourself. And Alpha says, go to the window. And they go to the window, and this flying saucer flies by. Daylight, Washington, D.C., over top of the Capitol. Okay, so anyway, they have this memo. Art Lundahl and Emmenegger talked to Lundahl during the filming in the 70s. Art Lundahl says, yes, he wrote the memo. Okay, so Bob's got it in his book. So I'm going to Bob and saying, where's the memo? Where's this memo that you've got in your book? And he said, well, you know, I don't remember where I got it from and all this sort of stuff. So Eric Davis, who is the physicist at NIDS, is working on this thing with me. And suddenly I put the story up and all this sort of stuff. He says, okay, you're going to get the memo. The memo comes to me from Jacques Vallée. Jacques Vallée says, okay, you got the story up on your website. here's the memo. And the memo, but it's not the actual memo, the CIA memo typed, it's handwritten. The story is that Art Lundahl, the CIA guy, had written the memo, gave it to Friend at the Air Force, at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, was sitting on his desk. J. Allen Hynek looked at the memo, realized the significance of the memo, and hand-copied the entire memo. It's 11 pages in J. Allen Hynek's handwriting, and he gives it to Jacques Vallée. And after I put the story on the Internet, Jacques Vallée says, here's the document. You can put it on your website. I put it up on my website. It's got all the names. It's got everything. Here's this document, which Phil Klass, I went to see Phil Klass's files a couple of times in the last month. I went to see Phil Klass, and this is, I'll quote what Phil Klass says about this. Phil Klass is looking at this case, so he's got a huge file on this thing, and Phil Klass says, heavens, he's talking to David Jacobs, who was working with Emmenegger on the documentary. He says, heavens, this should rank as one of the most credible, one of the most impressive UFO incidents of all times if the memorandum for the record is a legitimate account of events that transpired. The thing is, we don't have the actual memo. We got a copy written by J. Allen Hynek. So you get the document, but it's not the real document. It's not something you can go to the New York Times, to the Washington Post and say, here's the document, go with it. There's always like this sort of moving sand and
plausible deniability.
Yeah. But even when you get legitimate documents, nothing happens. Which happened with I got 1,000 pages from the Clinton Library in 2001. Two of the documents refer to Hillary Clinton's involvement in UFOs. And the one document clearly states that she was helping to edit a document on UFO disclosure to the president. She was helping Lawrence Rockefeller edit this. So when I filed all the Freedom Information Act requests, because I knew how the thing worked with the Presidential Library, 5 years after the president leaves office, that's when the records start to be released, first come, first serve. So I had 100 Freedom Information Act requests in. So when the first 19 FOIAs are released by the Clinton Library, 11 of them are UFO, all my Freedom Information Act requests. So suddenly everybody is on this story. Why are all Clinton's releasing all these UFO documents? Everybody's waiting for Hillary's records because she's running for president. This is a waste of time. What are these UFO documents? So I'm starting to get calls from Fox, Washington Post talked to me for an hour and a quarter, Associated Press, everybody was wanting to know about why I had these UFO documents, what was in these UFO documents. I sent every one of these major people these two documents on Hillary Clinton and said, Hillary's running for president. Here are two UFO documents that clearly shows that she had an interest and an involvement in UFOs, and nobody did a thing with those documents. And that was the top people. Washington Post, I was shocked. It was two long interviews. It was an hour and a quarter between the two interviews, asking all these questions. Nothing. They did nothing with the documents. So even when you get legitimate documents, nobody does anything. And John Alexander's right. Nobody really cares, or it's a toxic issue to a newspaper.
Yeah, it's toxic.
You really don't want to do this.
Well,
to me, that would have been the biggest story ever. Hillary Clinton running for president is into UFOs. But no, we're not touching it for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, in the intervening years since her involvement with the original Rockefeller Initiative and the Disclosure Project, Antonio Huneas, by the way, has a very good article on Lawrence Rockefeller's involvement in the UFO issue. Peter Storick and Don Blinner and Antonio and even myself was helped by Rockefeller. He had an incredible interest in the subject, but nobody has ever really put that down in one place. And at the risk of sounding like I'm promoting the Open Minds organization, they do have a very excellent magazine.
Also, Antonio's a good guy. I've known him for years.
And Antonio's a great guy and a very good writer. And his involvement with Rockefeller gives him an insider perspective. And he did a great job three issues ago in the Open Minds magazine of putting all this information down. So I personally asked Lawrence Rockefeller about the extent of government knowledge about UFOs, whether there was ever going to be some sort of disclosure process. And he seemed legitimately and truly as in the dark as everybody else. And because he was highly placed and influential, and most billionaires can get people to listen to them generally, he was really putting his money where his mouth was and really attempting in his very charming way to try to get to the bottom of this issue. Now, Grant, since 1975, you've obviously been almost verging on obsession. You've had an incredible deep interest in this subject. How can you keep going for so many years? And you know, you're giving us example after example of hard work that's just not being, it's being tossed aside. Like people, you know, I understand that the issue is toxic and everything, but what keeps you going? I mean, are you still looking for that smoking gun piece of documentation? I'm just very curious about your own motivations about this, because, I mean, you're an unsung hero here. You're spending a lot of resources, a lot of time. I've done the research. I know how much work it is. What keeps you going?
Yeah, I think it's part the sort of, to me, it's always like a game. That's why I say when it comes to a theory, to me, it's always like you're making a bet on a stock, or the roulette wheel is rolling and the ball's rolling around and you got to make your bet. You want to try to get it and figure it out, because I saw what I saw, and I really wasn't interested in trying to prove to myself or anybody that these things existed. I knew that there was a very weird phenomenon going on, and I needed to get the answer. And some of the people that were with me...
How did you know there was a weird phenomenon going on? I'm going to ask you the very obvious question. Was this because of your research? It sounds like it's coming before the fact.
No interest whatsoever. I had interest. I had done some work at the university on near-death studies, which I really like John Alexander, because he can't be all that bad a guy if he's into near-death studies. I was very interested in near-death studies, but can't ever remember being interested in UFOs. It was just that there was this flap going on at the end of the Vietnam War here, just north of the missile silos. It was intense every day, and it was something where it was a newspaper, and suddenly the local TV station got this thing jumping off the ground, and it was like pandemonium. Everybody here knew the story, and I said, well, to my friends, let's go and see what everybody's looking at. He's like, I didn't know what it was going to look like or whatever. And I remember we drove around for an hour into the town, out of the town, in, you know, and it was like, well, you buy the lottery ticket and you think, well, you know, probably not going to win, and it's exactly what I figured. After an hour, I figured, like, this is a total waste of time. Everybody else sees it. Of course, it's not going to show up when we come. And it was instant, and I talked to people about there's belief, disbelief, and then there's knowing. Whether you believe, disbelieve, who cares? It really doesn't affect reality. Only the people who've seen it know. And I remember we were looking at this thing, and it was like as soon as this thing appeared in front of the car, it came bouncing up and down right in front of the car, about a mile down the road, very, very low, pulsing red, just the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. It wasn't like we'd been driving around for an hour saying, well, is that what they're looking at? We're looking at stars, planets. Is that what they're looking at? Is that what they're looking at? We're trying to figure out. As soon as this thing appeared, everybody in the car said the same thing. There it is. It was like instantaneous. This is what everybody's talking about. We didn't have to analyze, well, is this what the UFO looks like or whatever. It was so strange. It was so bizarre. And then I had numerous other experiences which were really bizarre.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into the bizarre experiences of Grant Cameron and a few other things in our final segment. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
The Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Concerned about radioactive fallout? The number one way by which your body protects itself from radiation or any other free radical is with glutathione. Glutathione is the most ubiquitous antioxidant in the body. The number one mechanism for removing toxic elements from the body is glutathione. In order for your body to make optimal levels of glutathione, it needs an abundance of the amino acid cysteine. The highest dietary source of cysteine is non-denatured whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. The most non-denatured whey protein powder on the market is One World Whey. One World Whey is an industry first with its True Cool process. It retains all the active components of fresh raw whey. One World Whey is rich in immune, bodybuilding, and detoxification factors that make it a life-giving power food for everyone. One World Whey is sweetened with cold processed stevia and comes in three delicious flavors. To hear some impressive testimonies, go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com. Or call 888-988-3325.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
A special reminder, if you have a comment or question about the Paracast, write us news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. We return with Grant Cameron on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. And he's telling us he's had sightings, experiences galore. You mentioned this one. Now, I know we only have a few moments left and so much ground to cover. Can you maybe highlight a few more of your experiences?
Okay, that was the first one. There's only about four major ones that I remember. I had about 100. The main guy had about 150. In 1976, it was like the CIA took the drugs out of the water. It went away, and nobody's had a sighting in that town since. The second night I was out, I told all my friends, I said, this is the most amazing thing you've ever seen. You've got to come see this man. I was just like, it was just crazy. It's just like a light went off in my head. And I got all my friends. I dragged them out there, and they sat there, and they're looking, and we're sitting out in the middle of nowhere, and there's cars all over the place. Everybody's trying to see this thing from the city, because I live in a major city, and this is about 40 miles out of the city. And we're sitting there, and my friends, I can still remember about an hour later, they said, Cameron, you know, it's not, you're crazy. We're going back. I said, no, hang on. You got to see this most unbelievable thing, you know. And they said, no, I can still remember. We're hungry. We're going back to Winnipeg for pizza. And all my buddies got in the car, and off they went. And we sat there, and about 15 minutes later, it was called by some people there the bouncing ping pong ball. It was like this thing jumping around the sky, like a flash cube jumping around in the sky. And then it came right at us, and it got closer. It was the same object seen the first night. Green glow on the back came right at us and just sort of hesitated. I can remember the car beside us. There was a guy with a camera when motor drives first came out. And I can still remember there was a girl couldn't see it as it was bouncing around the sky. She's crying. People swearing, yelling. This guy with his motor drive, click, 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 and he's just unloading the camera as this thing's coming at us. And that was the second night. Then I started to go out, like I just basically, my friends who were with me just went on with their life, like nothing had happened. And with me, it was like simply an obsession. Somebody's got to know what's going on. I started interviewing the people in the town, trying to find out what's going on. And the third biggest one, and it sort of gets into this toxic issue, I was with a friend of mine who is now retired, but later on became the public relations officer for a $1 billion corporation. He was with me. We're seeing these small, what the Canadian government guy called monitors. We call them ground lights. These things on the ground. And we'd go to try to catch up on it. We'd stay a certain distance away from the car. And we're in the middle of nowhere. No farms, nothing down these roads. Got about 8 miles down. There's water all over the fields because it's springtime. It's on this bridge. We go to the bridge, get out. We're looking around. The thing is like a ball of light. And go down the other side, look back, things back at the bridge, go back up, or try to look under the bridge, whatever. We go back towards the north again to make the short story short. Things back at the bridge again. I said, come on, Jim, let's go. Let's walk this time. So we go, and I got a movie camera, 8mm movie film. I knew it was going to take off, so it took 7 steps. 3 seconds of film, 7 steps, 3 seconds of film, 7 steps, 3 seconds of film. Next thing you know, I'm right at the bridge. I'm right there. Can I jump? And I was like, I'm going to touch it. I have to touch this thing. I've got to, when I get burned, whatever's going to happen, I got to touch this thing. So I said to my friend, I said, I'm going to run. I'm going to jump on this thing. And he said, well, hang on. He's got binoculars. I got the movie camera. He says, I think there's one sitting on top of the car. So I look in the binoculars and there's things sitting on top of the car. There's orange smoke hanging down the side of the car. So we took off towards the car, and as soon as I took off, I went, oh, shoot, turned around, sure enough, the one at the bridge is gone. I tried to convince him to go back, and he was so scared he didn't want to go back.
What about your footage here, your film that you took?
Footage, I still got the footage. I was just in New Jersey lecturing, and I was talking to Alan, the guy in Washington, and he had agreed to analyze. I still got the little thing. It's been processed, but it's never been moved to film. Still sitting in my desk, the little three minute things. And I'm sure it's not going to be that great because it was in the middle of the dark and I'm holding the old 8mm film. It's probably
so just be a light in the
ball.
Sky, kind of a blurry light.
Thing bouncing around. But I was 50 sure. feet away when we took the final 3 seconds of film.
Okay.
So that was my experience, that I was close a number of times. I saw it. I talked to the people, the various experiences. We had the little humanoid case. We had the case of the cattle mutilations, all this kind of stuff, all the weird stuff going on. So to me, it was always there. But
we could always do a show just on your experiences, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what happened was I wrote the manuscript, and I put it around to different publishers, and they looked at it, and some of them read it. And then I went to the local publisher, and I'm in a city of 700,000 people. The local publisher, everybody knew the story. And I remember her coming back with the rejection letter and said, Mr. Cameron, you may believe in this kind of stuff. Count me among the unbelievers. And at that point, it was like, never another sighting. I don't care about sightings. This is a total waste of time. You can tell people. They'll be impressed with your little stories. I want to know what's going on. This is a total waste of time. And I've never really dealt with sightings since. All I've been interested in is somebody has to know. If I know what I know with what limited resources I've got, somebody in the government, somebody in the military has to know a heck of a lot more than what I know. And that was the thing that kept me going. And it's like a game. I'm very competitive. And, you know, what else are you going to do? I mean, you play the game, and it's exciting. The odd time you'll get a document. When Jacques Vallée sent me the document, it was like, that made it. There we go. This is a piece of the puzzle that I got that never would have been put in place unless I had done the work. And so you get the odd one that just keeps you going. And you get closer, and I think I'm getting closer with Pandolfi and with this whole Avery. Beckham does a great job on this whole underworld. And I think when I would leak these emails, I saw some of the discussions that were going on, and these people are much higher. They know what's going on, and that is where I've headed. Unfortunately, I sort of blew my cover on one of them, releasing some material I shouldn't have released, and nobody really talks to me anymore, but I still try to get into that level and what these guys are doing, because these people do know a lot more what's going on. Than
but they
the
seem to be
person.
Playing a game in public.
A game in public, yeah. Well, Pandolfi is, yeah. Not Kid Green is not doing it in public. Doty is probably very involved doing whatever the heck he's doing.
How about the sacerdotal knights of national security. Have you ever heard that term?
No.
Just curious.
No.
What was the motive behind that question, Chris? I want to ask you quickly.
Well, several of the names that have been bannered about are alleged by a source of mine to be involved in a tongue-in-cheek organization called the Sacerdotal Knights of National Security. And I just find it interesting that and the trappings of some sort of fraternal brotherhood should be used to communicate between some of these figures in a tongue-in-cheek manner, I would guess. But there is something to it. I think, Grant, you're an unsung hero. You've spent years, creating opportunities with contacts, filing the FOIA requests, really doing the hard work, the hard research. I commend you on this. I think we need more Grant Camerons out there bugging the government. We need more John Greenwalds and others who, are, I think, unsung heroes in this realm. And I think at one point data will overwhelm the mystery. All it would take is one or two straws to break that UFO camel's back. And who knows? We could get the floodgates opened and people might be called to account for having this knowledge and why it's being withheld from humanity. And I really do applaud your efforts in this regard.
Grant Cameron, would you tell our listeners where they can find more of your information and what you're working on now?
Most of my material is at presidentialufo.com is my main site, where the John Alexander article is, and the some of the documents. I've got a document section where some of the documents I've gotten are there. I also have the Hillary Clinton UFO.net site, and I also have the Barack Obama UFO.com site. But not much goes on there because Barack Obama really hasn't done a heck of a lot. Did a lot when he was a lot of stories when he was running for president, but really nothing. My main thing is that 500 years from now, people are going to look back and say, man, it must have been neat to live during that time when this thing was going on. And I think we live in historic times. I think we are key people that are responsible for putting down the history of what it was like to live in the time when this thing was breaking. That's all it is to me is 500 years from now, people will want to have the as much detail of the story as, of what was happening right now. And that's what I try to do is give as much detail, put it all. I try not to cover anything up. I try not to everything on the record as much as I can so that future generations will be able to see exactly what happened.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I'm a moderator at theforum.theparacast.com, and also I have a website that's going to be revamped soon called OurStrangePlanet.com.
And we're working very hard with Chris to modify that site, bring it to the 24th century.
There you go.
Star Trek and everything. Okay, Grant Cameron, thank you so much for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Thanks for your interest.
Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.